For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. In his first press conference in a half a year, Donald Trump has decried reports of collusion between his campaign and Moscow as fake news. He also admitted he believes Russia was behind hacks of the Democratic National Committee leading up to the U.S. presidential election. The president-elect told reporters that his enemies are propagating phony reports of his dealings with Moscow.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. And it was gotten by opponents of ours, as you know, because you reported it and so did many of the other people. It was a group of opponents that got together, sick people, and they put that crap together.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's controversial pick for Secretary of State has said it's a fair assumption that Vladimir Putin knew of the Russian hacks into the recent U.S. election. But when pressed, Rex Tillerson refused to call President Putin a war criminal. The former boss of ExxonMobil was being grilled by the Senate Foreign Select Committee as they tried to determine his suitability for the role of America's top diplomat. In his opening remarks, the Texan said the U.S. faces considerable threats.
China has emerged as an economic power in global trade, and our interactions have been both friendly and adversarial. While Russia seeks respect and relevance on the global stage, its recent activities have disregarded America's interest. Radical Islam is not a new ideology, but it is hateful, deadly, and an illegitimate expression of the Islamic faith.
It's reported that the UK government believes it will lose a landmark legal challenge on its handling of the Brexit process, with a ruling expected in days. If the Supreme Court decision on the UK's exit from the EU does go against the government, it could delay the Prime Minister's planned timetable. Ali Barrett reports from London.
The Guardian reports it's been told by senior government figures they believe the Supreme Court will rule against Prime Minister Theresa May. That would mean she would have to secure parliamentary approval before triggering Article 50, which kicks off formal negotiations with the EU on Britain's exit from the bloc. The government's therefore understood to be preparing legislation on the basis it loses that it can kick on with as soon as possible so the Prime Minister can still hit Article 50 by the end of March. Ollie Barrett, London.
Australian TV entertainer Rolf Harris has appeared in court via video link to face charges that he carried out a series of sexual assaults on women and girls in attacks that spanned 30 years. The 86-year-old former children's entertainer is currently serving a prison sentence for a series of sex offenses against four female victims. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca Foster. Rolf Harris, interesting. Never seen anything like the Donald Trump press conference this afternoon. I watched every bit of it. Extraordinary stuff. We're obviously going to talk about that and much more on your Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Welcome to the program. John Rappaport joins us this hour. Terrific journalist, old friend of ours, and a regular guest, last with us in early November. Now, we're going to talk about a couple of things with John. We will talk about the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting and why John believes that's part of a wider plan to hand control of US elections over to Homeland Security in the US. We'll also talk to John about Robert F. Kennedy and the announcement made yesterday by Team Donald Trump that RFK will head up an inquiry into vaccine safety. How seriously should we take that? How seriously should those amongst us who are concerned about the damage caused by vaccines, how seriously should they take it? Should they be excited about that or not? And in the second hour, our friend, the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, Paul Craig Roberts, will be on. Now, obviously, Paul will be talking about claims that Russian intelligence agencies even hold compromising information on Donald Trump, which Trump says is fake news that came straight out of the offices of American intelligence agencies. What's going on? You know, the truth of it is, so many people, I suppose, in positions like mine, they spend an awful lot of time trying to convince you that they know everything and they have the answer to everything. I'm the antidote to that. I haven't a clue what's going on. I have no idea. I've never witnessed anything as bizarre as this in my life, in my mainstream commercial radio career, let alone the independent media career, the path I've chosen. I don't know. I still believe Trump was chosen by the House of Rothschild. I really believe that. Putting together everything that I've learned in the last few months. But the madness of the man and the behaviour of the man and some of the things being said and going on, I don't know what to think about all of that. I don't know if it's down to the fact that however much this guy was chosen, I believe he was chosen, that he's as mad as a box of frogs. I've no idea. That press conference today was absolutely unbelievable. Now, the idiots, and I know some of you don't like it when I use words like idiots, but I'm talking about the clowns in the alternative right media who backed him to the hilt. They love all this. They will scream at you and tell you this is proof he's an outsider. His eccentricity, his name-calling, his abusive behaviour, the madness is all proof that he's a maverick. It isn't, of course. But I have to admit, I don't know what's going on with him. I really don't. Now, Paul Craig Roberts has written a brilliant article on his website about the possibility that Trump won't make the inauguration. I don't know what to think of that either, but it's a well-written article and Paul Craig Roberts gets you thinking, there's no doubt about that. Now, Trump had this crazy press conference and he said that allegations that Russia has compromising material on him basically are fake news, phony stuff, and put together by sick people. That's what he said. These allegations are unsubstantiated. They are in full. The allegations are basically that his election team colluded with Russia and that Russian intelligence agencies possess salacious videos of Trump's private life. Intelligence agencies considered the claims relevant and they briefed Trump and Obama last week. Trump also said for the first time that Russia was behind the hacking attacks. Now, we'll talk about that briefly in a second because I don't want to dwell too much on it because we're going to speak about it at great length a bit later. Right. So, BuzzFeed ran with these allegations about Trump and videos showing him doing things in hotels in Russia and all sorts of stuff like that. CNN, among other news organizations, reported on what BuzzFeed had said. Trump didn't like that, and there was an extraordinary exchange between Trump and a CNN reporter at that press conference today. You might have heard this already, but many of you are just coming in from work, and I'm sure you've not heard it. Have a listen.
Go ahead. Sure.
No, Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking our news organization. Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can you state, Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically?
She's asking a question.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question? Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody? No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
Obama.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable exchange. Now, the allegations, again, to remind you, are basically that Russia has information about him, his business interests, and evidence that Trump used prostitutes at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Moscow. That's basically what's been alleged and what's been said. He says it's nonsense, that he believes it's come out of the U.S. intelligence community. The Russians have strongly denied the allegations as well, saying that they were pulp fiction. Trump said he respected Putin for putting out a statement. This is unprecedented, this. I mean, it really is. I mean, as far as the circus goes, and I believe that this is all a theatre, you know, I can't be absolutely sure what's going on, what they're trying to do with it. Are they just trying to melt people's brains with the... I mean, because it's as mad as Dallas or Dynasty or Dynasty, whatever you want to call it, or any of these soap operas in terms of the plot twists and turns. It's just absolutely extraordinary. It's unbelievable. Now, amongst other things, and I'm going to play you a little montage of other things Trump said. He did say, as far as the hacking of the Democratic Party emails go, he said, I think it was Russia, he said, but we get hacked by a lot of people. Again, this is absolutely extraordinary, because I personally, as in me, the Richie Allen presenter, the Richie Allen Show presenter, I personally have no love for Russia or for oligarchs like Vladimir Putin. But I don't believe Russia had anything to do with hacking the Democratic National Committee's emails. There's no evidence to support it, right? But this is what Trump had to say, and a few other things besides.
As far as hacking, I think it was Russia, but I think we also get hacked by other countries and other people.
I don't know what's going on there. I think when I recorded that, I might have made a bit of a mess of it. So I've got another recording on standby.
With Vladimir Putin? I hope I do.
Go ahead.
But there's a good chance
no,
I won't.
Not you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Let me just stop that again and speed it up a little bit there so we get to where we need to be. Right, so we heard Trump having a go at an array with CNN reporter. This is some of what Trump had to say about the hacking.
As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. As far as hacking, I think it was Russia, but I think we also get hacked by other countries and other people. If Putin likes Donald Trump, guess what, folks? That's called an asset, not a liability. Now, I don't know that I'm going to get along with Vladimir Putin. I hope I do, but there's a good chance I won't. And if I don't, do you honestly believe that Hillary would be tougher on Putin than me? Does anybody in this room really believe that? Give me a break. We could make deals in Russia very easily if we wanted to. I just don't want to because I think that would be a conflict. So I have no loans, no dealings, and no current pending deals.
Now, every president since the
he then speaks about his tax returns, said the media seems to be obsessed with that. He alleged that nobody else seemed to care about it. And then he reiterated his long made and often repeated claim that Mexico would pay for the building of a wall, although he seemed to backtrack on claims that Mexico would just pay for it outright, and said there are other ways of paying for things, taxes and stuff like that. But on his assertion that the Democratic National Committee emails were probably, and basically he said, I think Russia was behind it. And then went on to basically say, incredibly, that the outcome may be justified it because of what it did to Hillary. And then he said, and you heard him say clearly, you know, what's wrong with Vladimir Putin basically supporting Donald Trump. Now, regardless of what you think of anybody, regardless of whether you think any of this is real or not, let's just imagine for a second that the illusion of representative democracy is actually reality. Imagine this is all real. How could Trump possibly assume the office of the presidency next week having said, yeah, I think Russia might have been behind the hacking of the Democratic National Committee emails, but you know what? You know, considering the way things turned out, it's not the end of the world, and, you know, isn't it a good thing that Putin has, you know, a lot of time for Donald Trump? I mean, this is unprecedented stuff. I can't overstate the madness of it. You know, it's like I was pinching myself today thinking, I'm not really looking at this. At some stage, you know, Dom DeLuise, and that'll tell you how old I am, somebody's going to jump out and say, you're on candid camera, this is not real. Staggering, staggering, staggering developments. It seems, I mean, for reporters in DC working for the various newspapers and news organisations there, it is an absolute wet dream for them. I mean, it really is. It's up every day is like manna from heaven with the insanity and the absolute bizarre events, the things coming out of this guy's mouth, the flip-flopping on certain things, his behaviour, it's never, ever been seen before. It never hasn't. Like I said, those on the alt-right who want you to believe that this guy is the Messiah and that he's a maverick, which he is not, to them, this sort of behaviour and this sort of nonsense is proof that he's his own man. But again, you see, to these people, everything is black and white. There are no shades of grey. They couldn't possibly fathom the possibility that Trump, because of his narcissism, and this guy has an acute narcissistic complex, the likes of which I've never seen before. You know, if this guy was an ice cream, he would devour himself. And these guys won't fathom or contemplate the idea that because of his personality, this is why he was chosen. You get him in, you know, he's got what he wanted, the biggest job in the world. All the attention is on him. He's got very little understanding of geopolitical affairs, no matter what, whether you come at those from an alternative point of view like us or from a mainstream point of view. This guy hasn't a clue. I maintain he was perfect for the House of Rothschild and the Rothschild Zionist cabal that are manipulating events to alter the perception of the 7 billion people on the planet. This guy was perfect for them. And I think that's playing out. Now, I know my guests tonight, well, I know Paul disagrees with that. I'm really interested to get his take on what's been going on today. We'll do that in the second hour. It's 16 and a half minutes past the hour. You are with the Richie Allen Show, which is, of course, broadcasting live on davidicke.com. I can't wait to hear what David Icke has to say about all this on Saturday at the Apollo Theatre in Manchester. We're on alternatecurrentradio.com, Fab Radio 2 as well. Check out those platforms and the TuneIn app. It's Wednesday, December 11th, 2016. Speaking of David, just to mention again, there are a handful of tickets left for the Helix Theatre in Dublin. I wouldn't wait any longer. Go to theworldwidewakeup.com or davidicke.com, and there you will find very, very easily the means or the way in which you can buy a ticket to see him in the Helix, and also find out about where else David is going to be through 2017. Now, John Rappaport will be standing by, and he'll be talking to us shortly. Before we get there, though, here's a brief break.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to the program. So it's exactly, is it 19 minutes past the hour? It is, as I said, on Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017. Looking forward to meeting you. If you are going to see David at the Apollo this coming Saturday, I can't wait to meet you and say hello to you. Many of you have been in touch to say that you will be going to see him. It's the first time he's spoken in the Northwest for many, many years. David remembers at the very beginning, very early on in his particular journey, he remembers coming up here and speaking to a handful of people, maybe a dozen people, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, and sometimes driving away, happy that some people came to meet him and happy that he had met them and exchanged ideas with them, but also kind of depressed, thinking, you know, what a mountain I have to climb to try and get people to take a listen to this information. How times have changed in 2017. Right. John Rappaport then, and Paul Craig Roberts, our guest. Paul will be in hour two. Before that, John Rappaport joins me. I've just heard from him. He's standing by. He's on the East Coast today, which is good for us. So this is Smashing Pumpkins 1979 on your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. John Rappaport in exactly 3 minutes. Stay with me. Two past the hour, Smashing Pumpkins in 1979 on the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and of course Alternate Current Radio and the TuneIn app were everywhere. Let's welcome our first guest back to the programme. He is the author of the excellent Exit from the Matrix Revealed, and Power Outside the Matrix. He's been a first-class investigative reporter for over 30 years and has written for everybody you can think of, Spin Magazine, LA Weekly, CBS Health Watch, and many more besides. He's also lectured all over the world. His daily articles can be read at his website, nomorefakenews.com. Let's welcome back the terrific John Rappaport to the show, who's also incredibly busy right about now. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Richie. Good to be here.
And you are incredibly busy, and no doubt your phone and your emails are going to be hopping with respect to the Trump press conference this afternoon. Now, John, I want to talk a little bit about your article on the Fort Lauderdale shooting and, of course, the implications of that and the election process and Homeland Security. And I do want to get a comment on you about, from you even, about RFK and his relationship with Trump and possibly looking at vaccines. So much going on, John. What have you made of some of the bizarre revelations, claims, counterclaims, behaviour by Donald Trump today? I've never witnessed anything like it, John, in my 20 years in mainstream and in alternative media. What have you made of it?
Well, I'm glad that you're characterizing it that way, Richie, because I think many people have to understand exactly that, what's going on here. We've got a president-elect, regardless of what you think of him one way or another, who ran his campaign against the media, major media, And once he was elected, has not stopped. You know, you could have said, well, once this is over, then he's going to make friends and everything's going to be hunky-dory. But that's not the case, as we see from the press conference today, when he cut off a CNN reporter and just said, you're fake news. Now, that's never, ever happened before in modern history of a U.S. president who is continuously going up against major media and calling them out, not just for statements they make about him, but also about their general fake news approach to everything, which, of course, I've been after for 34 years now. So people have to understand the importance of this alone, because major media traditionally becomes the eyes, ears, mouth, voice, print source for the public, for the population, for the world, for the people. And they have been lying to us ever since their inception. You know, so if we're going to change things, it has to begin there. And we are looking at much more than a beginning, of course, with all the independent news media outlets online. But now we have a situation where the president is completely at odds with big media, and he isn't stopping. And this gives us a further road, a new opening in the road to completely discrediting and overthrowing major media, which is one of the things that we have to be about, because they are continuously painting a picture of a false reality for the world, the planet. And you're absolutely right. We've never seen anything like this before, and we have to take advantage of that opportunity.
Let me be devil's advocate. You know from speaking to me before that I believe he was handpicked by the same people who handpicked Hillary and stuff, but I'm not going to dwell on that because I say it too often. I have a platform here. Are we in danger? Because I can't argue with a single thing you've said there, but are we in danger, some of us, of imbuing him or investing him with qualities that he doesn't really have? Because we're delighted that the lawyers at CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post are getting called out. But John, they're getting called out by a billionaire who himself is a product of the mainstream media, whom is, you know, a personal friend and confidant of Rothschild Zionist Bibi Netanyahu. A guy who basically built his career with the complicity of the mainstream media. Don't we have to be aware of that as well? You know, we have to be aware of who the messenger is here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although I don't think that's the whole story about who he is, but we have to be aware of that. And I've said time and time again on radio shows, in print, that the most important thing here is the movement of people who want freedom. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. Freedom from globalism, freedom from elites, planetary elites. And many of those people have gotten behind Trump and supported him, fine. But it's the movement that's the important thing. And in fact, one of the things that we have to be, and so I've said, if he makes a wrong move, his feet have to be held to the fire. Now, some people who read my work perhaps ignore that. They think that I'm making some sort of a secondary statement about that. I'm not. And in fact, if you look at his transition team and some of the people that he's appointed, you can see that he has a budding, very, very close relationship with Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, one of the major evildoer bankers on the planet. So this is not a good thing. This is a very bad thing. This is something that I am starting to point out and will continue to point out and name names and why this may be happening, both on a personal level for Trump, why he's made this allegiance, and also because of various programs that he wants to put into effect in the country, and how he thinks that Goldman Sachs may be necessary in order for him to get that job done, and how that may be a gross miscalculation on his part. So absolutely, no question about it. At the same time, for example, he is talking and has been talking about trade treaties which have stolen jobs, not just from America, but from every industrialized country in the world, contributing to the wrecking of their economies. When these jobs go overseas and the companies set up new factories and they employ slave labor with no environmental impact, and they simply make these products and then they send them back for sale to where they originally lived, the companies did, in their home countries. This is a vile program that has been going on for a long time now, supported by every president, certainly since Bill Clinton and to some degree before that. So, again, what is he going to do about it? We're going to find out. Is he really going to bring jobs back to America? Well, he's already brought some jobs back, or he's prevented others from leaving. But what's the program going to be? We don't know. I have some ideas about what it's going to be. But nevertheless, another unheard of event during the presidential campaign. One of the two major candidates stood up and spoke out directly and bluntly time and time again about globalism. A word, by the way, which was falling out of the vocabulary of the English language and is now back. That is a major shocker to me that this happened and that it's been happening over and over again. So I don't, without reservation, support Trump, neither do I wholeheartedly condemn him.
What makes you special as a reporter, John? I've always felt this, and we don't do mutual ass-kissing sessions on shows like this, but I think it needs to be said. You're very rare in that you understand things are not black and white. They're not, you know. It's easy to come on here. I mean, I often say I believe that. I've come to believe that those who do choose the president hoodwinked us all along. We believe that they were going to, you know, swing it for Hillary, but maybe they wanted him in. But I'm like you. I know things are not black and white, and I'm prepared to concede that this guy is a human being. He's a bloke with an ego. He's a man with an ego. He's a powerful man with money. He's used to getting his own way. And I'm sure he holds opinions that the power brokers, the banking elites, would despise. There's no doubt about that. I believe him when he says that, you know, he's anti-globalism, he's anti-trade deals that ultimately only benefit the super wealthy. But it still doesn't, that still doesn't mean, from my point of view, that he couldn't have been chosen anyway, you know, because even though he might have been a risk, and that's what, I suppose, I'm kind of muddling that, but I totally understand where you're coming from. Things are not black and white. You know, and this guy has a personality.
Let me just say one other thing here. Sometimes people are chosen who then bite the hand that feeds them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you don't, you know, he's a wild card, a joker in the deck. And this is why many people who are psychologically cautious, shall we say, in their lives have completely dumped him and hate him because they're afraid. I'm not saying this is the totality of the opposition to Trump, but I'm just saying this is one element of that, because he is that type of guy. He can turn around on Tuesday and do something completely different than he did on Monday. So I have to ask myself, well, is he that guy?
Yeah.
Was he perhaps chosen? And he said, yes, yes, sure. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we can work together because I'm all about the deal and I'm sure we can work something out, et cetera, et cetera. And then when he wins, well, do we, you know, he's unpredictable. We don't know. And maybe that turns out to be a good thing. We don't know the answer to that yet either because he hasn't even been inaugurated.
John, can I ask you a very quick question on that? Sorry to cut across you. On that, if he is this wild card who might have been chosen by the Rothschild banking elite, which I think he might have been, if he is that wild card, Paul Craig Roberts is on an hour too. Paul thinks and has suggested before that he might be in danger. And Paul has even gone so far as to say that he mightn't make the inauguration. Could that play a part in what we've seen in the last couple of days, the intelligence agencies coming out saying this guy could be basically a traitor? Because that's what they're calling him, right?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. It could be. I mean, there are no guarantees here. You know, and this also disturbs some people. They want a guarantee on either side. They want to be able to say that on the one hand, there are some people who want to say, look, every single major event that happens in the world or ever will happen is already preordained from an elite level, and there's nothing we can do about it. And those people take solace from that because it means they don't have to do a damn thing about anything. They can just sit there and chip away and say that we're all doomed. Then on the other side, you have the sort of wild-eyed idealists who say this person or that person is going to save us all from ruin, and he's the new Jesus Christ, and it's all going to be good, and all we have to do is wait for the aliens to land from Venus, and they're going to save the world. And so what I point out is the future is unwritten, folks. In the long run, the future is unwritten. And if you can't deal with that, then get out of the way. Because, frankly, what we need at this point, where we're at a serious crossroads here, is more and more people who are telling the truth about what's actually going on at all manner of different levels. So we've got a chance here. We've got an opportunity. Those of us who want to speak out and obtain an audience. I'll give you an example. 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, I just happened to be up because I couldn't sleep, and I said, okay, I'm not tired, let's go to work. And there's an email from Sputnik News, the official Russian news outlet, saying, can you come on for 5 minutes and talk about the Russian hack story, the CIA, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, this is the major media outlet for a gigantic country.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, sure, let's do it. And we did. And they asked me a few questions on the air. I gave my frank answers, and that was it. Well, that would never have happened if we had a campaign of Hillary versus Jeb Bush, and everything is quiet like a tomb, and one of them wins and the other loses, and everybody goes back to sleep again. So we got an opening here, folks. We've got an opening. And it's up to us to do as much as we can to wake up as many people as we can as to what the truth is. And you wanted to shift gears, and I do too, because look, if Robert Kennedy Jr.'s statement is correct, and I'm waiting for confirmation that he indeed has been appointed by Trump to do an independent task force report on the safety and efficacy of vaccines and the CDC, a terminally corrupt agency, then that's another shocker.
Isn't it, John? I mean, we can't overstate that. I mean, I did say to my producer, who's very, very, very interested in the issue of vaccine safety, it's something she's looked a lot into in the time that she's been involved with the program. She's a mother of children herself. and she's really on top of that issue. And she was saying today, you know, it's a great thing. And I said, you know, it doesn't mean I'm right. I said, look, let's exercise a little bit of caution here. We don't know what's going on. Do you want to remind our listeners of what Robert F. Kennedy has said and done in the past with respect to vaccine and the statements he's made, John?
Of course. First of all, his wedge into this whole issue was mercury in vaccines. He spent a great deal of time exposing that, writing about it. He wrote a book about that. And he was taken aback by the fact that he couldn't get arrested by major media to even go on shows and talk about the book. Here he is, a famous person, and nobody wants to pay any attention to him. He was not happy about that, I can tell you that. Then he began looking into the CDC itself, and he found a number of scandals, recent we're talking about here, scandals having to do with misrepresenting Coca-Cola, for example, and a group of scientists at the CDC, and this story has not been widely publicized, that call themselves SPIDER. And they issued a letter to a very high-up executive at the CDC saying there is a pervasive atmosphere of corruption vis-a-vis research on vaccines at the CDC. And Kennedy has pointed that out. And he did so again in a recent article that he wrote. So he's got a lot of the goods on the CDC. Now, my prediction is that the people who really know the depth of the horror story, that is vaccines, are going to be disappointed by the conclusions of this task force, because it's not going to go all the way, for sure. But it is at least, again, an open that didn't exist before, that is going to get some measure of exposure to the public, that's going to crack the egg of this insane presumption that because the CDC and the World Health Organization and governments say that vaccines are absolutely essential and all of that, that we should believe that tripe. So this is going to be, to some degree, a good thing. And I'm going to report on it, and other people are, and we're going to push for more truth beyond what anything that this task force comes up with.
You know, John, it's brilliant that you acknowledge that, you know, that we have to, and maybe independent media is getting smarter, and you've been reporting independently and telling the truth as you see it for, as you said, over 34, nearly 35 years. And we do have to be a bit smart in terms of our objectives are not to preach to the converted, but to try and get people to look at John Rappaport's articles and articles written by David Icke and others. And to do that, it's wonderful to embrace what Robert Kennedy is doing, because people will know who he is, of course, and it's going to be a way in for people. And that's a wonderful way of putting it, and people should embrace that and not get too upset if it doesn't go their way. Andy Wakefield told us last week that his interview, his meeting with Trump during the election was very, very productive. Andy was delighted with the way it went, and he came away believing that Trump was very serious about wanting to look at the makeup of vaccines, even if Trump was not anti-vaccine per se. Well, I mean, Andy Wakefield would say he's not anti-vaccine. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Robert Kennedy always maintained, I'm not anti-vaccine, I'm anti what goes into them. But he said he had this, you know, productive meeting with Trump. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
I believe it happened. I don't doubt that. You know, there are people who are exposing certain things about vaccines who are basically pro-vaccine. They think that they can be re-engineered to be effective and safe. There are other people who don't believe that, who are sort of pulling the punches a little bit because they feel that they can make some headway if they go a certain distance but not beyond. I happen to be a person who is absolutely convinced, based on my research, that they are unsafe, highly dangerous, ineffective, worthless, inessential, unnecessary. And I'm willing to back that up all the way with evidence. So I, of all people, ordinarily, you would think, would be saying, well, this isn't going to go anywhere, and Kennedy's not going to do anything, and it's not going to work, and so on and so forth. But as I point out with Trump, it's the same thing. Somebody provides an opening, you take it, you know, and you run with it, and you make the most out of it. Who that person is, we don't know. We don't know everything about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We don't know everything about Donald Trump. We don't know everything about a lot of people. But that's not cause for sitting back and saying, oh, well, this is just another hype. It's meant to draw us in, get us enthusiastic, and then disappoint us and demoralize us. Even if that's true, even if that were true, why do you have to go along with that show? Why do you have to say, therefore, let's not do anything? I'm sick and tired of people who say, let's not do anything, because it's all manipulated all the way.
Well said, John. Well said, John. You're absolutely right. It's a wonderful thing that Mr. and Mrs. Joe Smith around the US and around the world will start to hear vaccine and will start to hear vaccine and hear it in a negative way. It's fantastic. It has to be embraced, and it's a start. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. Go to nomorefakenews.com. Bookmark it. John's articles are archived there. Evidence-backed articles. It's a wonderful thing to see, to read an article, and there are links, and there are subheadings, and there are appendices to point you in the direction of information to support the claims made by the journalist, namely John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. What another bizarre incident we had in Florida. And God love the people killed there, if people were killed. And I only say if people were killed. I'm not one of these who cries, oh, it was a drill, or nobody was killed. I don't do that nonsense. I assume people were killed. And if they were, you can't help but be devastated for them. But Esteban Santiago, the suspect, John, before we talk about Department of Homeland Security, you know, there are some really serious red flags there, aren't there, with him in terms of psychotraumatic illnesses, psychological illnesses, psychotropic drugs, and making statements that the government or people in power were experimenting on him or were getting inside his head. These are things we've heard before, my friend, right?
Sure, that's the whole basis of the CIA's MKUltra program.
Yeah.
And we may have even talked about this on the air.
We have.
So, you know, on the surface, this is all made to look like the ravings of a lunatic. That's the point. Major media, in one way or another, will always shade these stories so that it looks like, well, this couldn't have happened, it's ridiculous, and it's just another illustration that the man was completely unhinged. But suppose that's not the case, you know, because we know that since the 1950s, the CIA has been embarked on a project of mind control. And we have the case, which is still open in my mind and the mind of many others, of the Robert F. Kennedy assassination in 1968 in Sirhan, as a possible mind control patsy in that case, because there is ample, more than ample evidence that he was not the shooter who killed RFK, even though he has been convicted and is in prison, and that he was in some way hypnotized and put into a state of amnesia about events happening around the time of the RFK assassination. So we could go on and on about this. But yes, there are many red flags about this guy and the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting.
Now tell us about.
Go ahead.
Sorry, John. I'm just looking at the clock, and I don't want to run out of time. The payoff, presuming or making the assumption, which maybe we shouldn't do, but let's make the assumption that this guy was some sort of patsy and he was acting under the control of a third party. Your article is excellent. I'm going to tweet it out now while we're talking from nomorefakenews.com. Talk to us about the payoff from that. Who would benefit from that?
Okay. So last Friday, first of all, you have to understand that Friday is a traditional day of the week where major media outlets dump on the public significant news stories that they hope will be ignored, because it's the weekend. Everybody knows this in Washington, D.C. and in other parts of the world. This is the way they do it. Same day, right around the same time as the shooting in Fort Lauderdale, those two things together completely obscured an announcement that, in effect, U.S. elections were being handed over to the Department of Homeland Security as a piece of, quote, critical infrastructure. This is the term they're using now. And the reason behind it being given, the Russian influence on the election, yet another way that this story is being, a fake story is being used. Well, we've got to do something about this, because now U.S. elections are under attack from a foreign entity and we have to shore it up, and therefore it becomes a piece of critical infrastructure. And who better to run U.S. elections than the Department of Homeland Security? Well, in the United States, the election process and the voting process is handled by the states. People have to understand this. Each individual state has its own apparatus for voting, whether it's in state elections or national elections. And the Secretary of State of that state is the official in charge of election and vote counting and so on and so forth. And now all of that has been ripped away in a single gesture, with no vote from Congress, not even a signal from the president himself, but simply an announcement from Jay Johnson, the head of the Department of Homeland Security in the United States. And of course, all of this is couched in language like, we are cooperating with the states in private and secret meetings in order to make sure that these elections are not compromised in the future. Well, cooperation is not cooperation when the feds move in to the states. The feds are in charge. It's just like when a police investigation is happening of a crime in a local jurisdiction and the FBI moves in and says, this is now a federal crime and we're taking over the investigation. That's what really happens. And so now, all of a sudden, one of the major intelligence agencies in the United States that has several hundred thousand employees and 24 separate agencies under it, that was created in the wake of 9/11, that went along with the Patriot Act, is now in charge of U.S. elections? Are you kidding me? And this doesn't become a major story? I just simply came out and said, this is a coup. A coup has just occurred. Wake up. Understand what's happening here. And that is what's happening here.
And I've just tweeted the article out, John. It's terrific. Again, well written, and again, bookended with references and with supporting evidence. Listen, thanks, mate, for coming on again. I know today's going to be a crazy day. I reckon you're going to get a lot of calls in the next couple of hours to talk about that press conference and, the vaccine information and much more besides. NoMoreFakeNews.com is John's website. I recommend you bookmark it, put it on your little information bar on your homepage, and check in with John regularly. Thanks, mate. Look after yourself and talk again soon.
You too, Richie. Thanks as always.
Great stuff, John. John Rappaport on the line to us there. Again, I can't recommend highly enough the website nomorefakenews.com. He's going to rush off now and talk to somebody else. It's exactly 6 minutes to the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break. Paul Craig Roberts joins us in the second hour. When I come back, I'm going to read some of your tweets and I might talk about Zionism. I might not. I've got a bee in my bonnet today. I'll tell you why when I come back. I better take that break.
Yeah, do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Thanks for the tweets there. Catherine tweets, don't forget Hillary Clinton. She says Hillary. Hillary Clinton supports compulsory vaccination. That's absolutely right. She does. Thank you for that, Catherine. Hi to Vanessa. Hi to Justin, who says the vaccine argument is like Brexit, a benevolent idea confused by the good-natured with the reality of the actual exercise. So Justin says a benevolent idea. Vaccines, a benevolent idea, says Justin. Thanks, Justin. Tristan tweets, he came to Florida 4 days before the Florida Senate vote on SB 140, which would promote allowing open carry in public, including airports. By he must mean the man accused of the shooting, Esteban Santiago. Tristan, thanks for your tweet. If I misrepresented that, my friend, tweet me back. Hi to Martin Noakes, who's been tweeting and promoting our interview with Dr. Paul Byrne yesterday and Bernice Jones, who came on to talk about the horrors of organ donation and their belief that brain death is often claimed by physicians all too keen to harvest organs from people whom they're not giving a chance to recover or to survive. That was an incredible conversation last night. It's on YouTube now. Go to youtube.com. Polly tweets, many of the additives in vaccinations have a catastrophic effect on living cells and they destroy the human immune system. That's Polly. I would endorse that. Spirit Samba says, you don't amass the wealth like that of Trump unless you are in the inner circle of the globalists. He is part of their plan, tweets Spirit Samba, at Spirit Samba there. Faisal tweets, good catch from John on the background to Robert Kennedy's move against the CDC and the vaccine doctrine. I didn't know that, said Faisal. That made two of us, Faisal. Jason tweets, the change we long for may be here, but what if we don't recognise it? That's Jason Holmes. Luga tweets, I think Trump was given the post to fracture all factions further than they already are to make civil war easier. That's an interesting one. That Les tweets, Les Hewitt, how you, Les? I predict that Trump will be gone by mid-April one way or another because Trump is upsetting some very powerful people. JP tweets, shouldn't we look at Soros? Shouldn't we be looking at Soros' rivals who may be silent Trump backers? That's JP as well. Great stuff. Right, shall we move on then? I was going to talk about Zionism. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not. I'm going to keep my powder dry. Jamie Icke gave me a phone, gave me a ring this morning. By the way, it's coming up for the top of the hour. You are with the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, alternatecurrentradio.com, the TuneIn app as well. I recommend you download the Truth Seeker app for your phone or for your tablet, because the Truth Seeker app has got podcasts from me, from James Corbett, from InfoWars, from Maria Heller. Some of David's stuff goes up there as well, David Icke. And it's all for free. You just download the app, it's all for free. And those podcasts will upload automatically every time a content creator uploads one. Truth Seeker app, it's very good. A big champion of it is Fred Fairbrass from Right Said Fred, who'll be on the programme in a few weeks' time. He'll be back after a two-year gap between his first appearance on the show. So anyway, Jamie rang me this morning. It turns out the Apollo Theatre in Manchester was written to by a group that claims to be against racism and anti-Semitism. And they wrote a very strongly worded letter basically saying that David Icke was racist, that he was anti-Semitic, that he hid behind, talking about Zionism and Rothschild Zionism, that he was disgraceful, and that he shouldn't be given the time of day and he shouldn't be at the Apollo Theatre. The person who wrote the letter, I'm not going to name them, also threatened the Apollo Theatre and said that there would be observers in the audience on Saturday and that racism and anti-Semitism would be reported to the relevant authorities on the back of the new wording, the new legal definition of anti-Semitism, and that the Apollo should watch out because they might have licensing issues. Rather nasty, spiteful letter from a purported anti-racism, anti-Semitism group, whom I'm not going to mention right now. Now, needless to say, David Icke couldn't give a rat's arse, right? One way or another. I think he's mildly interested in why now. It's been over 10, 15 years since anybody has said that David is racist or in any way anti-Semitic. I think he's interested in the timing of it and why now. The Apollo Theatre, I think, quickly dismissed any notion that they wouldn't allow the event to go ahead. There's never any danger of that at all. No danger of it whatsoever. And I think they wrote back to the person from the so-called anti-racism group and said, your letter is duly noted, but we'll carry on regardless, and we will, host any event that we deem fit to host. Interesting stuff. I was going to get into a little bit of a Zionism historical lecture, but I'm not going to do it because I don't have time to do it. So I'm not going to do it. Right, not going to do it. I'm bursting and itching to do it, but I'm not going to do it. So anyway, we're going to hear a lot about this in the weeks and months to come. Content creators, researchers, writers who have been attacking Zionism and the roots of Zionism, what Zionism is really about, what it's meant to do. Those people are going to be attacked. That's what the Theresa May revelations were in recent weeks about. We have to define anti-Semitism, and that's why we're hearing people saying all the time, oh, we can't allow people hide behind using words like Zionism because those people are really filthy racists who just hate Jews. That's what they're going to do. This is the next step in preventing information coming out, preventing people from discussing what's going on in the Middle East, who's behind it, and what the agenda really is. So I thought I'd share that with you. Jamie gave me a ring this morning and he said, you might be interested to know, blah, blah, blah. And as I said, I saw the letter that was written to the Apollo. I saw a copy of it. Interesting times, folks, eh? Interesting times. 4 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. I fancy a bit of music now. I fancy a bit of AC/DC. And there's a song called Back in Black on the Richie Allen Show. At exactly 5 minutes past the hour. Back in Black! Yeah, I didn't see them when they're in Manchester last year. Would have loved to have seen them, but I didn't, even though Axl Rose was singing for them, of course. And might still be, as far as I know. But look, well, let's move on anyway. Coming up for 9 minutes past the hour. Keep those tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Those are that's where to get me on the tweets. Hubertus tweets today, people in the UK need to be on the lookout for thunder snow. FFS, which means for feck sake. I've heard that term thrown around the news today. Thunder snow. That's right. Weather warnings have been issued for the far northwest of the country, Scotland, and southern parts of the country. Apparently, there'll be a flurry of snow over the next couple of days. Here in the northwest, in the UK, in England's northwest, in Manchester, Liverpool, of course, Blackpool, Blackburn, Bolton, Preston, the northwest, it's been windy. It'll be windy over the next couple of days. And just to alleviate the concerns of certain people I know whom are worried about bad weather affecting the David Icke Worldwide Wake Up Tour visit to the Apollo Theatre, we're not going to. I don't want to have a Michael Fish moment here. I don't want a Michael Fish moment. But apparently, we're not going to have snow that sticks even, that sticks on the ground. It's not going to happen. There might be a few flurries tomorrow, but we're not going to have snow that sticks on the ground. So to Mark Byerski and to Scott Cornish and to Jean-Anne Crowley and to Daniel and to Joe Lomax, and I should stop mentioning names now because somebody will get offended that I don't mention. But to many of our listeners and friends who are coming to Manchester to see David, I don't think you've got much to worry about. It rains in this city. Manchester is a city where it rains. It never stops raining here. It's been raining today. It rains every day. It rains all the time. That's what it does in this great city. Now, our next guest is a man whom I love the man. He's a genius. His books, I can't recommend them highly enough. The Failure of Laissez-Faire Capitalism, How America Was Lost, The Neoconservative Threat to World Order. You can read him daily at paulcraigroberts.org. Of course, he had a very, very senior position in the Ronald Reagan administration. He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. And no doubt he was glued to Donald Trump's press conference today in New York City. And he'll have plenty to say about it. Let's welcome back to the programme and wish Happy New Year to our old friend Paul Craig Roberts. Paul, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you, Richie. Well, I didn't watch the press conference. I'm too busy writing.
You're busy working on the day job, but you've gotten the gist of it, right? You understand that a lot went on during it. I was speaking to John Rappaport in the first hour of the programme. I'm sure you know John, and we dropped your name a couple of times earlier on in the programme. Your ears might have been burning. I've never witnessed anything like it, Paul. In mainstream media and in independent media, I've been covering politics for 20-odd years. I have never in my life witnessed a press conference like that today. Trump says he now thinks the Russians may have been behind or are behind the hacks, but it's no bad thing because the outcome meant that it scuppered Hillary. Now, we'll talk about that. I want you to talk as well about the allegations made about his visit to Russia and things he might have been getting up to there. And, of course, Donald Trump has said, and I think he might have a point, to be fair to him, that the US intelligence agencies, whom he's peeved off, or we can use bad language, we can say whom he's pissed off, they may have been behind that story. Paul, put this into context. What is going on?
Well, Richie, you know, clearly, contrary to the liberal, progressive, left-wing view of Trump as just more of the same, another billionaire oligarch representing the establishment, we are faced with the quite extraordinary total opposition to Trump by the establishment. We even have the CIA so determined to resist Trump's presidency that they come out with fake news reports in the total absence not only of any evidence, but of any evidence involving Russia, but of any evidence there was any hacking whatsoever. So the real question is, why does Trump say, well, the Russians may have a... That's not really what he said. If you look at his own statement, as opposed to what the prostitute media says, he said. Nevertheless, he's feeling enormous pressure The CIA has made it completely clear that they do not accept his presidency. And they are openly and blatantly conducting a campaign to delegitimize the president-elect. Why are they doing that? Because they are defending their power and profit. The military security budget in total comes to $1,000 billion annually. It's a huge sum. They don't want normal relations with Russia. They need a Russian threat. They don't want NATO reconsidered and perhaps scuppered. These are things that are totally against their interest. Eisenhower warned us about the military security complex. What was it? It was 55 years ago. Look how much more entrenched they are. They are a state within the state. It should strike everybody that the security service is openly trying to discredit the president. What, you know, what do they expect? Did they expect him not to clean them out? Or are they so confident of their power they don't fear him?
Which is it?
I don't know.
Because your article yesterday was absolutely brilliant and thought-provoking. And, no, it was. You know, you and I have spoken about these issues for over 2 years, and we agree on pretty much 98%, I think, of things. And I think where it ultimately goes, I think we sometimes disagree. But I have enormous respect for your experience and for your courage in the books that you've written, Paul, about these issues and the things that you've said. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Don't count on Trump being inaugurated, you wrote yesterday. How far do we take that, Paul? If they are terrified of this guy because they really believe that he's going to withdraw from interventionism and that he's going to get away from incursions in the Middle East and he's going to get away from all of that, how far might they go with this guy? Do you think his life is in danger?
Sure. He thinks so himself. You've seen his announcement that he's supplementing his Secret Service protection with private security protection. He doesn't even trust the Secret Service, because the Secret Service were involved in the assassination of Kennedy. They were supposed to be protecting him. But if you watch the films of the assassination, you see the agents are called off the car just before the shots fired. So, yes, they're perfectly capable of that. Here's my take on it. I think this is a moving thing. It's like a rolling wave. First, they thought they could use the media to block him from getting the Republican presidential nomination. They failed. Then they thought they could use the media to block him from being elected president. An all-out effort was made. They failed. Then they've tried to block him in the Electoral College by trying to persuade the electors that the election was tainted by Russian interference and they shouldn't elect Trump. That failed. So now they are attacking him. For what purpose? Are they trying to set up a coup on the grounds he's a Russian agent, like the New York Times has said, like the CIA has said? They might have been trying that. It doesn't look like that's going to work. So what can they get out of this? Well, they have set the stage with all these accusations for a year of investigations, of hearings, of more accusations, of doubts. And what they may be trying to do now is to box Trump in from his agenda. For example, the Democrats can't do anything about him because they are a minority in the House and Senate. But there are enough Republican neoconservative warmongers who are opposed to better relations with Russia, who think the CIA is a great heroic organization that makes us safe and keeps our enemies from getting us. There are all these mindless people who think that might is right, might is the only thing. And so he has to worry now. It's been made clear he's going to be under full-scale assault, that if he does normalize relations with Russia, some of the Republicans are going to go over to the Democrats. He could even be impeached as a traitor. You just don't know. So I think this thing is rolling. The CIA is not giving up. If he gets in there, he can maybe remove the director, or maybe that will then be taken as confirmation that he's a Russian agent. You see what I'm saying? The way they form it up around him, if he exercises his agenda, if he tries to implement it, it will be taken as confirmation that he's Putin's man. So they're putting as many constraints on his ability to normalize relations, to get out of Syria, to reassess NATO. They're just going to block him in from that. Can they succeed in that? I think probably they could.
You think they can? What he actually said today was, he said, I think it was Russia. But the caveat he put on that was, he said, we do get hacked by other people, but he did say, I think it was Russia. Tell you what's extraordinary, Paul. Later on then, let me just finish, because I want our audience to hear this. Later on, he said the outcome, or he suggested the outcome of the hacking was justified. Basically saying, look, we learned things we wouldn't have otherwise known because of it, and it basically scuppered Hillary. And then he said, "If," and I'm quoting him, if Putin likes Donald Trump, I consider that an asset, not a liability. Now, Paul, this is not me saying this, but isn't he giving his enemies the tools with which they can bring him down? Because it's very easy to make a case, the idiots in the mainstream media and, you know, others, it's easy to make a case that, well, he is a traitor. I mean, I've never heard a president-elect or a president ever say anything like that before. Yeah, the hacking is okay. Look at what the outcome was.
Well, you know, it's not just Trump who said that. But first of all, let's be clear. There was no hacking whatsoever. There is no evidence.
No, I agree with you.
Anything was hacked by anybody. There was a leak from the Democratic National Committee to WikiLeaks. A leak is not a hack. And just as Julian Assange has said correctly, don't you think voters should know about all the wrong things Hillary's doing, about how they stole the Democratic nomination from Bernie Sanders, all the dirty things they did? Of course they should know that. Of course.
And the Clinton Foundation corruption and crimes and everything else. You're 100% right, Paul. So why is Trump not sticking to that then? Why is Trump not saying, listen, nobody was hacked? I still don't believe the Russians did it. What's he doing here?
I think he's trying to shut up the CIA to get off his case.
But they might kill him.
Sometimes you have to... You know, you could be in a... what does he want to do? Fight the CIA for the next year or try to achieve something? So maybe he thinks, okay, look, I'm dealing with the mafia here, and how do I deal with the mafia in New York? Well, I give them something. I don't just stonewall them. So, okay, I'll give the CIA something. Maybe now this will satisfy them. They'll have their little bit of what they need, and we can get on about a business. That could be the explanation. You know, at some point, see, that's another thing they could be doing, just keep him in a fight so he can't do anything. What comes across to the public then is that, oh, gosh, he's just inflexible. So, you know, there are different ways you can see this. You know, facts aren't very important in the Western media. The Western media is not really interested in facts. And the American people no longer can tell a fact from a non-fact. But what they can see is constant agitation, constant controversy, and that is no good for a new president, assuming he gets in office. And to go in office having the burden of an ongoing fight like this is very counterproductive to any agenda. So it could be simply that, or it could be simply that no one on his staff has comprehended that a leak is different from a hack, and that this was a leak from inside the Democratic National Committee, which is what the British ambassador Craig Murray said. And WikiLeaks Julian Assange himself has said over and over and over on TV appearance after TV appearance that there was no hack, that the information did not come to him from a state source.
That's right.
So I don't, you know, so why does Trump not know that? Maybe he doesn't think this is that important now. The latest news, which I just posted a link to, is that all of this stuff about Trump wild sex parties and golden showers on the bed in the hotel in Moscow, all of this was fake news planted on the CIA. Now something called Channel 4, something is now said, hey, look, we made this up. We gave it to so-and-so. He gave it to the CIA, and they put it in the dossier.
And do you know what's extraordinary about that, Paul? You must have been, I mean, as experienced as you are, you still must have been, you know, bemused last week when every major news television channel interviewed a former CIA or former NSA director. And they basically admitted the way it works. And they were complaining about Trump, saying that, well, the way we operate, we go to the president and we say, well, based on what we have seen and based on what we've heard, this is our best guess or this is our best idea. And he's going to throw that away. They basically gave the game away. So basically it's like, well, we really don't know what's going on, but we tell the president what we think is going on and he has to believe it. And we can't have a situation where the president says, oh, no, you've got to give me absolute proof before I act on something. I mean, it's extraordinary stuff that's coming to light now. No doubt, you know, we've known about it for years, you and I and people like us, but the general public, Paul, their heads must be spinning, you know? They must be like, what's going on here?
Well, you know, the CIA was probably trying to say that it's not unnormal to tell the president this is our best estimate. But of course, presidents don't go by estimates. I think I've told you and your audience before that the whole purpose of Reagan was first to fix the economy with the supply side policy and then use the strong economy to put pressure on the Soviets with the threatened arms race to negotiate the end of the Cold War. That was Reagan's agenda. That's all he was interested in. So what did the CIA tell him after we fixed the economy? They told him, oh, you can't have an arms race with the Soviets. And he says, why not? And he says, they'll win. They'll win. He says, what are you talking about? He says, oh, see, Mr. President, the Soviets control investment. It's a socialist country. You don't control investment. They can put the whole economy into the military. You can't put more than 5 or 6%. The American people won't stand for it. And so if you start an arms race with them to try to pressure them to negotiate the end of the Cold War, they'll win and we'll be up the creek. And Reagan didn't believe a word. And he formed a secret committee, I know, because he put me on it, and gave us the authority to review the CIA's studies that led them to this conclusion. We could subpoena them to come testify, including the director. We could demand any report that was relevant to this part of their activity. And we told Reagan, that the CIA was basically protecting its interests, which is conflict. And they didn't want the end of the Cold War, and there was no basis for what they told him. And he said, I knew that, but I had to have confirmation. That's why we put you on the committee. So that's, it's nonsense that presidents always believe what the CIA says.
Yeah. Unless they're George W. Bush and
Let me finish this, Rich. It's very important.
Go ahead.
It really works. What the CIA does, it uses all its whores in the Western media. It owns the media. It uses them with planted stories to fix a situation where the president's boxed in. They control the explanation, not the president. They get something, they fix it up, they'll plant it in a foreign publication. Then they'll tell the New York Times, hey, look at this. And then it spreads here. And the next thing you know, the president can't do anything because the public's opinion is totally contrary to what he wants to do. That's how they operate. They control explanations. I was just finished reading Douglas Ballantyne's book, The CIA as Organized Crime. And he reports in there that by the early 1950s, the CIA already owned 400 to 600 American journalists, including journalists at NBC and the New York Times. And we have the book by the German editor, Udo Ufkadi.
That's right. Yeah.
He says there's not a significant journalist anywhere in Europe that the CIA doesn't have a hand on. So they can control any explanation. And so they're very clever. They use words and stories and they create a situation and the president can't do anything because the public's attitudes are already formed. So I think the CIA is probably right to have the kind of confidence they're showing, even though I think they've gone so far with this last report about Putin being in touch with Trump for 8 years, grooming him for the presidency, having all this sex stuff to blackmail him with. Well, I mean, this has become absurd. It's absurd for many, many reasons. For example, part of this report is that Lieutenant General Flynn, who is designated as Trump's national security advisor, he was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. This is one of our most important intelligence agencies. And according to this report, the CIA had to learn from a private investigator that such a high-profile figure as a director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, he's making numerous trips to the Kremlin to consort with Putin for anti-Hillary propaganda. Well, this is nonsense. If the CIA has to learn this from a private investigator, it's not an intelligence agency. It is nonsense. It's on its surface, the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency going to the Kremlin. negotiate.
It's a hard sell, yeah.
These things become so absurd that I think the CIA is in danger of ruining its credibility. But still, you know, unless all these journalists on their payroll abandon them, they've got the firepower.
I want to ask you, in the time we have left, and I'm delighted you've come back on, Paul, because, look, you know that I've stated my... And my listeners have to put up with me, I suppose, or they don't have to put up with me. They can listen to somebody else. But those who do put up with me know that I'm not a fan, ultimately, of Trump, of billionaires, of oligarchs. And I suspect that the House always wins, regardless of who's in the seat. But it's important that guys like you come on, particularly with your experience, to give a different side of it, and that I don't get in your way, because I get to have the soapbox here most of the time. But I am going to stick with one thing, though, and that is Trump on Israel. I believe he's a Zionist, Paul. I believe he has a deep relationship with somebody like Bibi Netanyahu. I worry about comments he's made about Palestinians. And I worry. Let me just finish the last point, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way. And I really, really, really worry about, you know, comments about we'll put the US embassy in East Jerusalem. There are a lot of Zionists around Trump. I don't like it, Paul.
No, none of us do. But what you have to understand is, where are Trump's vulnerabilities? They're not in military security businesses. He's not part of that oligarchy. Where are his vulnerabilities? Real estate and entertainment. Who controls entertainment in the United States? The Jews. Who controls New York real estate and the big banks? The Jews. So, how many enemies can he afford to have?
Right.
So I think this is just Trump keeping the Israel lobby off his back. He's already got the CIA on his back. Does he want Mossad too?
I hope you're right, Paul. I'd love you to be right.
You know, you can't say, oh, he should go take on the world. I mean, it's impossible. Another thing I want to make clear, not every billionaire is an oligarch. And Trump is certainly not part of the ruling oligarchy. If he was, why would they be trying to destroy him? You can't have it both ways. He can't be under this fierce attack and be one of them. That's not possible. And I want to remind you, I've known many billionaires who were for the people. I remember Sir James Goldsmith. He spent his last years, despite being a billionaire, having good-looking women and yachts and plenty of things to do, he spent his last years fighting for the working class against jobs offshoring, getting beat up in the British media by the conservatives for being against free trade. Also, Roger Milliken, the textile magnate in the United States, he spent his whole life fighting the offshoring of jobs. So not all billionaires are evil. The ones you have to be concerned about are the ones who have organized the world through globalism to benefit their specific type of fortunes, which is financial manipulation. That is not what Trump does, which is offshoring jobs, which is turning third world countries into monocultures that export a commercially produced crop and leave all the peasants with nothing to do. Those are the oligarchs that rule. Trump's not part of that. None of his businesses benefit from any of this. This is why he can be independent. And another thing you have to understand, if you want any kind of change from the top, you've got to have a very strong, confident, strong-willed, egocentric person there, because nobody else can stand up to them. You get somebody who's conciliatory or wants to just get along or make compromises, no change will happen. It's going to be extremely difficult, even for somebody like Trump, who's used to running over people, to do anything. And the same thing goes for his appointees. Do you want him to put in there some novice who doesn't know anything about the financial system as the Secretary of Treasury? What could he do? He'd just get run right over. He has to take somebody who's part of the system, who knows how it works. What you just have to hope is he's chosen the right one and they're going to help him. Not everybody who works for Goldman Sachs likes the place. For example, Naomi Prinz, who wrote the book, All the President's Bankers. I mean, she is all over them. She was a managing director at Goldman Sachs.
That's right.
You can't just say, oh, there's a Goldman Sachs. And the same for generals, these two generals. It's Michael Flynn, who went on TV and said that Obama's lying. It was a willful decision of Obama to send ISIS to Syria. I recommended against it. He fired me. That's the guy he chose to be National Security Advisor. That's who you want, isn't it? And yet all the liberal left progressive, the same thing with this other general. He's nominated to be Secretary of Defense. This is the guy who stood up to them and said, torture doesn't work.
Mad Dog.
Yeah, Mattis or something. Mattis.
Yeah, Mattis, yeah. He said some other things that are a little bit less savory.
It doesn't matter. That's what's important.
Right.
Who else would even say that? You can't say, oh, this isn't Jesus Christ, so we don't want him. I mean, Jesus Christ got crucified. You need somebody who ain't going to be. And so you got to have strong people. So the real question is, are they strong enough, independent enough to help Trump? Or is Trump going to be so boxed in, nobody can do anything? I noticed today that Tillerson, who is a friend of Russia, had to say in his hearings, oh, that Russia was a threat. He had to say it, or they weren't going to confirm it.
The proof of the pudding is going to be, as the old saying goes, in the eating in the next 100 days or 200 days. Can I just put one final point to you? And by the way, I'm not going to editorialise any of this. I don't do that. You are going to have the last word. When I say that, I mean it. And then when we say goodbye, I'm not going to do any editorialising. If he's the man you think he might be, Paul, he's going to be killed, isn't he?
Most likely. You see, because they've created enough propaganda about him being a Russian agent that they can produce some right-wing super patriot nut who killed him because he's treasonous and he was selling out America to Putin. So they're covered on that end. On the other hand, I think it's going to be harder for them to get away with it than in the past because of the strong, blatant, ongoing attack against him. It's sort of, they didn't do that to Kennedy. So it's sort of more difficult for them to take Trump out in that way. And I think they'll probably confine themselves to trying to box him in the way that we discussed in this program. And but if they can't do it, they always have this alternative. They've killed a lot of people. If you read Douglas Valentine's book, The CIA is Organized Crime, you find that they're not bothered by killing people. It doesn't bother them in the least.
It's like... Well, it's like having breakfast for these people. Paul, I want to just mention again your website. You can read Paul daily at paulcraigroberts.org. Paul has had the last word. Regardless of what anybody thinks about Trump, nobody would wish him to be assassinated. I'm very interested in the next 100 days and the next 12 months to see what happens as much as anybody else is. Paul, thanks again for your time. I mean that sincerely. I know you get asked to do a lot of these. I'm really grateful for it, and you're always welcome back. I'll be in touch in the near future.
I enjoy talking to you, Richie. I really do.
Well, thanks for that, Paul. I really appreciate it. Look after yourself. The great Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. You can find him at paulcraigroberts.org. Read his articles there. Top man. Great to chat with him today. It is exactly 17 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. Some music. And go on then. When we come back, I'll have a little bit about Zionism to tell you.
Listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Ozzy Osbourne and Crazy Train on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. I'm reliably informed by Chemtrail Sky on Twitter that Randy Rhodes is the lead guitar player there, the guitarist doing that terrific solo. Randy Rhodes, I didn't know that. I've always loved the song, but I didn't know too much about Ozzy in terms of, you know, his group and the musicians who played with him. So thank you for the information. If I'm ever on a quiz show, it'll come up, won't it? Who performed a solo on Crazy Train? And I will know, because I have a memory like an effluent. Like an elephant. An effluent. Right. So look, I'm just going to say this based on nothing other than it's been a bee in my bonnet all day. Never be scared of talking about Zionism. Never, ever be put off talking about Rothschild Zionism. Because somebody who is ignorant or who is uninformed calls you racist or anti-Semitic. Never bow down to that. Remind people that, as David Icke went to great lengths in a terrific discussion with me last week, as he said, it is a secret society. Zionism is a political ideology. And you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. You know, Zionism claims to have the best interests of Israelis and Jewish men and women at the heart of their agenda. They don't. You know, Jewish men and women the world over are as much, or are, as much victims of Zionism and the agenda as anybody else is. You know, it's important to understand that, and it's important to say that to people. It's also important to mention that hundreds of thousands of Jewish men and women around the world regularly protest against Zionism. They couldn't be further apart, the two ideologies. The religious ideology of Judaism on the one hand, and the racist, evil, disgusting Zionist ideology on the other hand. They are worlds apart. The Rothschild banking dynasty, I've said this probably 100,000 times since I began talking about this myself, and I only began talking about it because I learned from the research of learned men and women. The Rothschild banking dynasty created Israel, paid for everything. Every state building in Israel paid for by the Rothschild banking cartel. And I've always said this, what I've learned, and I didn't take what other people had said and regurgitate it. I didn't do that. I looked at the evidence presented by other people over the years and used my own pretty decent research skills to look it up and to cross-reference what I was being told by people. And what I found was, the people I was reading were 100% right on the state of Israel, why the state of Israel came into being, what the Balfour Declaration was really all about and all of that. You see, Rothschild Zionism, I've always believed, since I came to understand it, hides in Israel, but hides in plain sight, and hides behind the plight of the Jewish people. It cloaks itself in a kind of a security blanket where it can't be criticised, because it hides behind the plight of the Jewish people and, of course, what happened before, during and after, particularly during the Second World War. Rothschild Zionism is behind every conflict, every war in the world, and is the driving force, in my opinion, behind the global depopulation agenda. It's got nothing to do with Jewish people. I'm going to repeat again, Jewish men and women are as much victims of it as anybody else. And if you talk about it, as we've seen in this country and in others, well, you hate Jews, don't you? You're using code words. You're saying Zionists to hide your hatred of the Jews. This is garbage. It's utter garbage. The world we live in is run by the Rothschild Zionist cartel, including the banking families of Rockefeller, Oppenheimer, Warburg and others. It really is. It really, really is. Take that to the bank, no pun intended. It's the greatest open secret in the world. These are the financiers who manipulate everything. Every global event, everything that's in the news. They own the news. Paul Craig Roberts said it earlier. They fund lunatic dictators like the Saudi Wahhabis, who fund both sides of every election. Not the Saudi Wahhabis, the lunatic, the Rothschild Zionists. And David has often said over the years that Israel is their fiefdom. It is. It's where they hide. Behind that, as I said already, that security blanket. Well, we can't be exposed because we'll call anybody who questions us a racist. Again, we will say they hate Jews. They hate Jews. They subscribe to and they propagate and they spin out age-old conspiracy theories about the Jews. But we don't. We don't. But never let the truth get in the way of a good lie. I think David said on the programme last week, I could play the clip but I'm running out of time. Jewish Americans are less than 2% of the population of America. Most of them are not Zionists. And yet, look at how many avowed Zionists are scattered around the Obama, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and even the Reagan administrations. Look at them. How many of them? If you want to take Obama alone on his own, Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, George Soros, Henry Kissinger, Tim Geithner, Larry Summers even, Rothschild Zionists, the Fed, the private bank, not run by the government, which most people aren't aware of. Nobody knows this stuff outside of those who get their information from the independent media. The government doesn't run the bank. It isn't in control of finance and money printing and money distribution. It's a private bank, the Federal Reserve, run by the New York crime families. Mentioned them already. Rothschild, Warburg, Oppenheimer, and the rest of them. Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, Federal Reserve Chairman, Zionists. Why? Why the takeover of the US government by agents of the Rothschild banking crime family? Why? Simple, to control policy and manipulate events, to protect against this becoming knowledge. You need to have a cover story. So they use the Holocaust industry. Read Norman Finkelstein's book, Norman's Family Were Murdered by the Nazis in Auschwitz. They've taken the tragedy of the barbarous murderous lunatic Nazi death camps, and they have dined out on it and used it to justify the murder, torture, destruction of Gaza, the detention of children, the torture of children. Any criticism of the Israeli government or criticism of the behaviour of the IDF becomes anti-Semitism. This is where the bastards hide. The bastards being Rothschild Zionists. They own the media. You heard Paul Craig Roberts earlier on. General Electric, News Corp, Time Warner. And boy, they were talking about Rothschild Zionists, not the Jews. There are lazy, ignorant bastards in the independent media who blame everything on the Jews. They know no different. They are ignorant bastards. They're not racist. They're just ignorant. They don't understand what Zionism is. War, genetically modified foods, mandatory vaccination, Zionist. Transhumanist agenda, Zionism, to further remove people from reality and the reality of their agenda. Listen to David Icke on this programme 10 days ago talking about virtual reality. Jews and Judaism has nothing to do with it. Jews, as much as Muslims, Sikhs, Native Americans, Aussies, Spaniards, Italians, Paddies, are as much victim as anybody else, but they will use the media, the Zionists will, to tell you that it's racism. Because we mean Jews. We hate Jews. We want to eliminate Jews. What a load of monumental bollocks. They're going to try and define anti-Semitism here to prevent criticism of Zionism. We covered on Sunday View the attempt to destroy the career of Alan Duncan. Caught by the balls. Going to shut up now, and I'm going to get out of the programme. I'm going to get out of the programme. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Before I wrap up, I've got a quick break to take. I'll be back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Do not risk putting another pound in your bank account until you've heard this message. It's Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my brand new book, The Road to Ruin. Visit theroadtoruin.co.uk for full details now. Inside, I uncover the financial elite's secret ICE-9 plan to take full control of your hard-earned cash. To see how, visit theroadtoruin.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. Claim your free copy at theroadtoruin.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Right, welcome back, and that's kind of it for the programme. Huge thanks to two great guests tonight, John Rappaport and Paul Craig Roberts, two great guys. Enjoyed chatting with them. The programme will be podcasted in about 15 minutes. Simon will have the YouTube videos online by tomorrow morning. We'll put them out there. Go to youtube.com and subscribe to our content there. It helps the programme, by the way. I'm not sure about tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. You know that I had a ceramic bridge put into my mouth about 4 months ago. It cracked just before Christmas. I had it all taken out last week. It really pissed me off. I was sore. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going back to have the new ceramic bridge put back in. I do not want to miss the program tomorrow night because there's lots to talk about. But I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be sore and I'm going to be swollen. I don't know what's going to go on, right? But I'll give you the heads up now. That being said, look, we'll try and do something. I'll let you know on social media during the day tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the program. Thanks to my producer, Claire Calvi, to Simon, and to all my friends who supply me with information during the day. You know who you are. Stay with DavidIke.com with Alternate Current Radio and Fab Radio 2. I have been Richie Allen. This has been The Richie Allen Show for Wednesday. Until next time, bye for now. Leaving you with Billy Joel and My Life. Bye now.